Rebecca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And you are tuning into Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we are located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Haukamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples. I am going to be your host for the next hour up until 8 p.m. I am Rebecca, if you are new. And yeah, I hope you're all having a good evening, had a good day. I have a very fun episode today, as for once you are not just hearing my voice since Kaylin has left the show. I am joined by the very talented...
Hello, guys. My name is Michaela. Thank you for that introduction, Rebecca.
Of course. So Michaela is the one and only Michaela May. Where we have played probably nearly your whole discography at this point.
I'm so thankful that you guys have played so many of my songs. It means so much because I do only have about like 10 Spotify listeners. So I'm very happy that my songs are on this radio. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean... Me and Kaylin have, I think this is probably actually something we bonded over, actually, was your music. I think it's because you were Kaylin's friend first, before, like, I met you through Kaylin, and yet I was listening to your music before Kaylin did, which I found really funny, is because it was when I first met you, I think it was the week after, I'd listened to a couple of your songs from your Scared to Change single.
Yeah, the night after we went, I think, line dancing.
Yes. And I listened to them and I said to Kaylin when we were prepping for the show the week after, and I was like, oh, I want to play some of Michaela's songs. And then Kaylin was like, wait, what? I haven't listened to Michaela's songs. So I find that quite funny that she was your friend first. Yeah. And I'm the one that brought the music into Kaylin's life, you could say.
Well, thank you very much for supporting me. Like, it's just something I started in high school. And, you know, it's just little old me mixing up my songs on my computer on GarageBand. And, I kind of had to figure out everything myself, from recording to publishing it on Spotify and iTunes. Also, very quick shout out, if you guys do want to listen to more of my music, you can find me on Michaela May on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your music.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I can imagine also figuring out YouTube, because YouTube scares me if I was to try and post something on there, honestly. But
it's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I will have all of your platforms and stuff linked into the description when I upload this on the website. So if you didn't catch her platforms, you can go to the cjsf.ca website, find the Sociologic playlist, and click on this episode, and I will have them all linked in there anyway. Because we love to support non-mainstream artists at CJSF. Yes. We are all for the independent music, as a lot of you listeners probably already know. So yeah, and we're going to have a fun little discussion. We're going to talk a bit about music. We're going to talk a bit about sociology. We're going to combine the two of them, because obviously this is Sociologic. We will have to talk about sociology at some point. We'll talk a bit about your music, a bit about music, what it means to you. So it's a nice little mix, something a bit different from my episodes that I have been doing, which I will say have been a bit dark.
We'll keep this one light.
Yeah, this one will be a bit of a switch up. It'll be a bit more light. What can I say? I really love delving into the dark side of like criminology for some reason. But yeah, before we get into all of that, we are going to start off with a song, and we're very fortunate that Michaela has brought her guitar because she's going to sing some covers live for us, which we're very lucky.
Live music, guys. Not going to lie, I'm nervous, but let's hope it goes okay.
Yeah, you're going to absolutely smash it. And I think the first song we want to do is one that's very meaningful to Kaylin, me, you.
Oh my gosh, I had to do this one. Kaylin, we miss you. I had to do this song for you.
Absolutely. And if you have listened to, I believe it was like one of Kaylin's last episodes of the show, we played the song Down in the Valley by The Head and the Heart. And we spoke about that song and why we chose to do it, because we just had the bonfire at your place and things. So Michaela is very...
I love a good campfire song.
Yeah, the absolutely. You're very kindly going to play it for Kaylin, keeping her spirit alive on Sociologic. She'll never leave. But just before we get into the song, we do like to do a little thing here at Sociologic on what we're joyous about from the past week, what's been great, what's been made us happy or anything. So do you want to start us off? Or
Okay, so one specific joyous occasion
can be one specific week. One can be a collection of them.
Okay, well, I did do something pretty cool. I went up with my partner and my two friends. We actually drove like 5.5 hours past Kamloops, and I got to see one of my childhood best friends get married. It was amazing. She has been with her partner for 10 years now, so this was a long time coming, but just, you know, seeing her walk down the aisle in her nice, beautiful white dress was just amazing. I really enjoyed it, and I felt very joyous.
Oh, that sounds so nice. And then you got a little road trip out of it as well. Right? That's so sweet.
We had to stop at all the landmarks, you know, Hell's Gate on the Fraser Canyon, and there's like some secret tunnels too from the old highway that we ended up exploring as well. Very cool. I think you can try and find some of those on like some Facebook posts. They talk about some old highway tunnels, but anyways, it was cool.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that sounds very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's going to be the fact that we got you in the studio today and that we've got you doing live music. That is bringing me a lot of joy. And that the songs you're going to play, we're very fortunate that Michaela is going to debut a new song as well.
Yes.
So I'm very excited. It's
hopefully
bringing me a lot of joy.
Soon. I know I've been spending so much time mixing it and re-recording parts and whatnot. So I'm excited to, be playing it for the first time here.
Well, we're very excited to be the show that you're debuting it on. I say we. It's me. But... I'm very excited. Yeah, and Kaylin, wherever she is in her outdoor life, as we all know, Kaylin's mantra is to go touch some grass. So that is what she is doing right now. I can imagine. Yeah, sure. Is touching some grass. We are going to listen to Michaela play Down in the Valley by The Head and the Heart. And then we'll be back for a topic.
Wish I was a slave to an angel of chains, like riding around on railroads and working long days. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways. With a grin. never been by. Down in the valley with whiskey rivers, these are the places you will find me hiding. These are the places I will always go. These are the places I will always go. So I wish I was a slave to an angel in chains. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways.
And that was Michaela's cover of Down in the Valley by The Head and the Heart for Kaylin.
Thank you. I hope that was a good one.
It really was. I get such chills listening to that song now. I feel like that's one of those songs that's going to be rooted in like a memory and a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like whenever you hear that song, it like takes you back to that time.
Yes.
And it's going to be the campfire.
We have to get that video because I think someone recorded like me playing around the fire. That would be
really cool. Oh, yeah. I think, I think there was one that went flying around. I probably have it on my phone somewhere, to be honest. But yeah, so we're going to hop into talking a bit about music through a kind of sociological perspective. You don't really have a sociology background at all, do you?
I do not. I'm currently studying psychology.
Okay.
Yeah, not sociology.
Well, we can maybe mix a psychological perspective in there. I don't personally know much on psychology, but I'm sure, obviously, you do. And I'm sure music is somewhat related in psychology as well.
Oh, I think one thing I've found interesting for a while is music therapy, actually.
Ooh.
Kind of combining my two interests. I think that would be pretty cool because I do think music can be very therapeutic. So,
absolutely. See where the future takes me. No, that would be so cool. Musical therapy. My God. I can imagine that just sitting there listening to songs. I needed this.
That's the thing. Like, music, it can be such a stress reliever, too. Like, not gonna lie, if I'm angry or sad, like the most the thing that helps the most is just being able to sit down, maybe write some song lyrics about that, and just kind of like let out some of those hard emotions through music. And I feel like it could benefit a lot of people, even if you aren't musical, you know, even after a hard day when you're driving in the car and it's been rough. Blast your heavy metal music, blast your whatever, and just like let those feelings out. I don't know. I think the power of music is pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually have a story that kind of directly relates to that of my time during my second year of my degree. So last year, I owned a car, which was really great. So I had a bit more freedom and I was at university and there was the peak time of like submissions and work and things that I was just getting stressed out. There was like friendship drama happening in my house and just like, oh, I can't deal. So I got in my car, kid you not, drove 5 minutes to one of my best friend's house. I literally texted her 2 minutes beforehand and said, I'm driving over to your house. Whatever you are, get dressed into something and like get in the car.
Just wear clothes.
Yeah, I was like, just be clothed, get in the car. She got in the car and she was just like, she didn't even really care that I didn't tell her what was going on. She was just kind of like, okay, got in the car and she was like, what's happening? And I was like, we're driving an hour down the motorway, so like the highway. We're not talking. I'm going to play a playlist. We're going to scream. And then we're going to drive back.
Yes. And
that is literally what we did. I have a playlist.
That's awesome. You knew what you needed.
I knew what I needed. I like reached that point and I was like, if I didn't have a car, because she is a car. I was like, if I didn't have a car, I'd be paying her with like petrol gas money and she will be driving and I will be screaming.
Yeah.
But
I bet you felt better after.
Oh,
right?
I felt so good. And it's become one of the things I do actually with a lot of my friends now, because I have a specific playlist designated to it. And it's like songs that I feel like, for me, when I hear that song, I do just want to scream the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, I know all the lyrics and I just want to scream the lyrics. And one of the songs is called Ruin My Life by Zara Larsson.
Mm, okay.
And it's just such as a song that I'm just like, I could scream the lyrics to this all day. So we didn't just scream, we screamed the lyrics. But yeah, we genuinely drove for an hour outside of my university town down the highway, turned around at a service station and drove an hour back, to the point where I obviously didn't tell my parents I was doing this, that like I live at my university. It's quite far away from where my home is, but my parents had my location. And so I got a text from them being like, are you being abducted? What are you doing driving an hour away from your university to turn around and go back again? And I said, look, I just needed it, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
I needed that, like, little box where I could put music to the full volume, not speak, and just drive.
Dude, I know what we're doing next. We're going for a car drive.
Hell yeah. Like, that was definitely, like, I think the most at peace I felt afterwards. I was like, I get why some people, like, go to a top of a, like, hill or mountain and just scream. Like, having that outlet where you just, like, let everything out in, like, some form is so relieving. So I get it with, like, the music. Do you find that for you, though, it's more the making of the music than, like, maybe consuming music? When you're in, like, the states of, like, difficult emotions. Because, obviously, I'm not musically talented. So my only option is consuming it and screaming. But, obviously, you've got another avenue.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. You know what? I find when I'm sad, it's more of the making of music. I find it really easy to write lyrics and come up with songs when I am sad. Which is why I've probably had a person call my music sad girl music.
No.
Shout out that person. But I think when I'm mad, it's more consuming music, because it's just nice to have something so immediate to just like put on, blast at full volume, and just have that release. So,
yeah. Ooh, interesting. Because I feel like in society, bringing the sociology into this.
We do live in a society.
Yeah, we do. That when you hear about like the like your favorite pop songs and stuff like that, there's usually a story of like heartbreak in there. So I do feel like when you listen to some of the really like famous songs and the popular artists, that the backstories tend to be not happy emotions.
Yeah.
That feel the songs, even if the song might be a happy beat, the usually like I feel the emotions behind it are more of the negative nature.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's so much easier to connect with an artist, especially when they're singing about a hard time that they've been going through. You know, if a musician is singing about an instance they were happy, there's only so much you feel towards them. You know, you feel happy as well. But when they're singing about something like sad and deeply personal, it allows for such a stronger connection, I feel, from the listener to the artist. Because that's life. It's full of ups and downs. And it's nice to have someone put it to you know, a melody and something that you can just kind of process those feelings alongside the artist. So
yeah, I also feel like it feels a bit more authentic, because if someone was just singing about happy stuff the whole time, it paints this like glossed over image that you're always happy.
Yeah.
And which is very not true.
That's not true.
No one is always happy.
Except I am pretty happy nowadays now that I have the semester over. So
I can imagine a lot of people are relating to that. Sun's out, semester's done.
Exactly.
People can relax. Yeah, I can imagine. So if we're looking more at music and sociology, I personally do have a sociological background, not ever associated it with music, which is why I kind of found it a bit interesting to research this, because I think it's a bit of a unique take, to be honest. I didn't really clock maybe how many things about music is related to sociology that I already knew, just hadn't like put two and two together, like connected the dots, particularly with how music has such a key part of expression and communication, and that it will reflect how society's been shaped and also mirror society. A lot of that you can see through music being used as cultural expression. So I think one example I found a lot of was like Irish jigs, for example, are very rooted deep within their culture and their traditions, and it's a very much of like it's reinforcing a collective nature of their culture and tradition, that it keeps it alive. So I found that interesting, because I hadn't thought about music and cultural heritage, and I knew Irish jigs and ballads and like traditional forms of music. So I thought that was, I thought that was actually kind of very beautiful.
It has a very distinct sound too. Like when you hear an Irish jig, you know it's an Irish jig. You know, like, and then immediately you get this is very stereotypical, but like images in my mind of four-leaf clovers.
Oh yeah, leprechauns by any chance? Yeah, just, the color green.
Very recognizable sound, which I think is cool, like immediately being able to hear that and identify the culture.
Absolutely. And I think if I wanted to apply like a sociological concept to that, we have spoken about when we looked right at the beginning of sociologic, we looked at kind of functionalism, Durkheim, and norms and values and social integration into society. And this idea that music is a form of cultural expression and represents cultural heritage for some groups can be a form of social cohesion. It can very much glue them together as a society. It can very much integrate them into their own like mini society, because we're a global society made up of lots of mini societies. So I thought it was a very beautiful way of looking at it that way. And I think as well, you look at like different historical experiences of groups within society, particularly marginalized groups, and I think music is an avenue where a lot of them have been able to speak on issues, advocate for issues of the past and for justice that way. And it's been a form of cultural expression for the negative impacts that, well, negative experiences that their culture has had. I mean, one that I found online when I was researching this, which came up a lot, was about reggae music. And I hadn't thought much about reggae music. I can't say I've listened a lot to reggae music as a genre. Yeah. I don't know about you.
You know, I've heard a few songs. Like, it's got that very distinct beat, for sure.
Yeah. I think I did it in music class when I was, like, 13.
Okay.
I think that's the last time I heard, like, reggae music, which is pretty bad for me. But it was the fact that they said that reggae music was advocating for freedom, political change, and social reform because of the experiences of the Afro-Caribbean people. And I think when I remember the reggae songs that I heard, I just remember the, like, fun beat.
Yeah.
You don't think of that side.
It's definitely kind of a swing beat, hey?
Yeah.
With, like, a certain drums and just sound to it.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though. I didn't know that, so I think I'm definitely going to look into more of the lyrics of some reggae songs.
Yeah, because I found it interesting that it was, like, reggae music being kind of central for them in terms of, like, the freedom that they wanted as like their culture and social reform. When if you were thinking about it that way, I feel like you would think it would have kind of maybe a bit more of a melancholy beat, not so upbeat as what reggae music is
Kind
of known as when you like think of reggae music, you think of upbeat mm-hmm. and things. And like alongside, if we're looking at that, music and social movements and social activism, again, I didn't even like clock the amount of songs that I knew that have been associated or linked with social movements and activisms and become like anthems for change, in which you can easily like see how what you were saying earlier, like the power of music and what it holds for some things. I mean, reflecting on societal structures and music being associated to people wanting to change those norms, change those structures, for especially in like getting equality in pretty much every area is what we're aiming for.
Yeah. I feel like that's become more of a prevalent thing too now that we have apps with lots of short form media out now. You'll see users on, say, like TikTok or Instagram tackling these really kind of hard issues of, you know, needing equality or raising awareness for a matter. And you'll see that these songs, they pick up motion and they start trending. And so they'll be all these users talking about the same issue with the same song in the background, which is also just another kind of uniting thing. Like, you can go click on the sound and it's all these people who either relate to this issue or would like to talk about it. And I think, yeah, that's really cool that those apps are allowing people to come together in such a way and share their interest in not only a topic, but a song as well.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, you know more about psychology than I do, but I assume also you're almost creating a subconscious link. Mm-hmm. If you're repeatedly hearing the same song over and over again, associated with videos talking about the same issue, mm-hmm. you're going to like make a link that when you next hear that song, you're going to think of that issue.
For sure. And that's power in itself too, right?
Yeah.
Like, turning a song that may not be political or anything like that, and then being able to hear it and remember that that is still an issue that people face today, or you know, listen to it and just be aware of sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
No, you're all good. Yeah, absolutely. So like, even if it's not directly within the lyrics that it's addressing the issue, with short form content, you have songs that were not even associated suddenly becoming associated and acting as catalysts for movements. Like, honestly, like it's probably a big part of what is kicking off a lot of social movements online. I'm very interested in actually looking, and I'm gonna do another episode on this in the future, on social media activism and how much it actually causes change, or are we tricking ourselves into thinking it causes change because we get people talking about it and then it dies out and you actually had no change happen. But that's another topic. That's a future thing. Yeah. But I had like some interesting examples of how musicians and like use their music to advocate and use like its power to address social issues, because there were so many that I thought of and that I will know the lyrics to but didn't necessarily associate that straight away with what it was meant to be associated with. And one that, like, as just before I get into the examples that I had, I kind of related as well. UK football chants, then kind of a form of music. I mean, it's chanting, yeah, but sure. UK football chants, they are not advocating for social issues. I'll put that out there straight away. They are definitely not. If anything, they are very derogatory, but it's part of the UK culture. But I think like it shows the power of music to be such a unifying tool. Football chants, football
full stadium singing the same thing, right?
Exactly. And not only that, I went to a music festival in 2022 with my friends, and we would be walking around the festival, nothing's like playing, like no famous artist is playing, for example, and we're walking around the festival, someone will start a football chant and suddenly everyone in the area is doing the football chant and we're not even at a football game. Yeah. Like, that is the power of football in the UK and the chanting that comes with it.
Yeah.
it's almost like ingrained that you know it. So it's such a unifying tool as well. And I know that's not an example, that's like very the opposite way in terms of social issues.